Today we have the story of the so-called Good Samaritan, and we'll get back to that in a second. But first, a little bit of context. A couple of Sundays ago, from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we heard the story of Jesus. He's traveling with his entourage. And by the way, this isn't just 12 guys in the Gospel of Luke. These are men, women, children. Could be a rather large crowd. Some people have been approaching him and saying, "Oh, I'll follow you." And his basic response is, "Oh, great. Come be homeless with me." And they're moving from the north around the Sea of Galilee, and they're heading for the city of Jerusalem in the district of Judea. But what a lot of people don't remember is that between the Galilee and Judea is an area called Samaria. And Samaria, by the first century, the Common Era, was enemy territory. So they're moving through enemy territory. And Jesus has said more than a couple of times, we're just going to rely on the hospitality of people. Not everybody's going to extend that hospitality. And so a couple of Jesus' friends who really feel empowered say, "Oh, let's call down hellfire and brimstone on this village that hasn't extended hospitality." And Jesus' basic response is, we don't respond to a lack of hospitality with napalm. So that's one rule of the road that Jesus has already issued. And then last Sunday, we heard the story of that they're continuing to move through enemy territory, Samaria, and Jesus is issuing some more rules of the road. And one of the things he says is, you're not going to carry a lot of luggage, no baggage. We're going to keep this really simple, and we are going to rely upon the hospitality of the places that we're traveling through. And one of the reasons I bring this up is that you and I have bought into the mythology of it's better to give than to receive. And one of the reasons I'm convinced that we do that is because when we're the recipients of hospitality, we render ourselves vulnerable. And who here likes to be vulnerable? Not me. And yet, here's Jesus' big invitation. Come be homeless. Come be vulnerable with me by relying on the hospitality of others. And then, this lawyer guy, today's reading, approaches Jesus. And let me just tell you right up front that in the Gospel of Luke, there is no such thing as a good lawyer. Are there any attorneys present this morning? Just because you get a really bad rap in the Gospel of Luke. Anyway, this guy approaches Jesus, and he starts trying to mess with his head. And we've seen this before. Jesus gets right in there and starts messing with his head and changes the guy's question. And the question he asks is, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And oh, by the way, we're not talking about dying and going to heaven, because these are Jewish guys talking to one another. The real question, the mistranslation that we typically fall into, his question is, what do I have to do to become part of the age to come, which is an ancient image among the Jewish people that at some point God is going to inaugurate a time when all those who have lost their lives at the hand of some imperial power are going to be restored to the community. Eventually, that became known by the first century as the general resurrection, as in Jesus wasn't the only one to be raised from the dead. So there's this whole sort of communal aspect to this question going on, and Jesus changes the whole conversation by telling this story. So, we call it the story of the Good Samaritan, but I'm going to argue that today, because what occurred is that's like saying, oh, he's such a good African-American, or she's a good white person, or as Heinrich Himmler once said to his fellow SS officers as they were poised to exterminate 6 million Jews, well, everyone needs at least one good Jew. Do you see where this is going? It's a disparaging way to approach the story. It's at least implied, if not said explicitly through the story, well, at least there's one good Samaritan. And we'll come back to that in a second as well. So, Jesus launches into this story. And a better title, I think, would be The Story of a Man Who Fell Upon Robbers. So this guy is accosted, he's beat within an inch of his life, left in the ditch at the side of the road. I have this image of driving through Washoe Valley, you know, up 580 and getting stopped, you know, beat up and left on the shoulder of the road. And he's dying, make no mistake about that. And as Jesus tells the story, a priest goes by, a Levite goes by, and then this other guy shows up. Now, usually the interpretations of this story that I've heard is that, oh, you know, the priest and the Levite, they have to protect themselves because of the purity laws within the Judaic tradition, and I'm here to tell you that that's baloney. These guys, they have no excuse, because one, they're not heading for the holy city of Jerusalem, where they're going to have to maintain their ritual purity in order to engage the worship of the ancient Jewish community. They're leaving Jerusalem. They're going down to Jericho. So all of that is off the table. Neither the priest or the Levite have any excuse whatsoever. But here's the kicker. There are, in the first century of the Common Era, there are three kinds of Jewish people. One are those descended from the priestly clan, they would be priests. The second, descended from the clan of the Levites, that would be a Levite. And the third kind is, anybody want to guess? An Israelite. So, imagine you're hanging out with Jesus, and he launches into this story, and you know about the three kinds of Jewish people, and so Jesus says, oh, priest, oh, Levite, and as soon as he says, describes those two characters, the third character that you would expect is, oh, wait, Jesus, it's an Israelite. And while you're thinking Israelite, he says, Samaritan. And all of a sudden, all bets are off. And I guarantee you, the original hearers of this story would have missed the tail end of the story, because they're looking at each other going, what did he? No, he couldn't have said Samaritan. No, did you hear that? Nope, I didn't. And they're having their own conversation, because he's just exploded their heads. I mean, it's like if I say Father, Son, and you say, oh, good answer, boy. They are trained well, Father Kirk. You have worked this crowd. Or if I say Larry, Moe, and you say, you just dated yourselves over here. But in the context of this story, Jesus says, Father, Son, and Satan. Or again, in the context of this story, Jesus says, Larry, Moe, and Osama bin Laden. I mean, I'm trying to convey the shock value of this moment in the story. They would have been blown away. And then the story, which probably most of the hearers missed because they're trying to figure out what just happened, the guy goes over to the man who is within an inch of his life, and he gathers him up, and he binds his wounds, he takes him basically to a hotel, pays the hotel keeper and says, take care of this guy, and oh, by the way, I gotta leave for a bit, but on my way back, I'll pay what's owed and to cover his expenses. And the implication is, in effect, he's threatening the hotel keeper, you better take care of this guy. And the focus of this story is not the so-called Good Samaritan. The focus of this story is the man who's left half dead in the ditch. And the intent of the story, remember just a bit ago we were talking about the teachings of Jesus, and he's talking about relying on the hospitality of others. Remember that part? Well, that's what this story is about. It's about relying on others' hospitality. It's about recognizing our need. It's about humility and understanding that we don't just live on our own, and that there are times in our lives when we're put in positions of unbelievable need, either by our own actions or just by pure chance, whatever. I mean, in the face of the death of a loved one or someone who is afflicted by alcoholism or drug addiction, we are put upon in this life, and there are situations where we just can't deal with it on our own. We gotta have help. And the core of this story is, be open to the reality of your life, you, a child of God, aided not by the people who say they care about you, but by the people who are your sworn enemy. Now, Jesus didn't make this story up, by the way. We always tell ourselves, oh, he was so smart because he figured all this out on his own. Well, it turns out he didn't. Did I mention he was a good Jewish boy? Yeah, and so that meant that he was reading his scriptures, which, by the way, are known as the Jewish scriptures or the Hebrew scriptures. Please stop calling them the Old Testament, because again, that's disparaging of our Jewish brothers and sisters. We call it old. Oh, it doesn't really count, but it's their scriptures, and it was Jesus' scriptures as well. So, you know, let's show a little hospitality in that regard. Well, it turns out that in the second book of Chronicles, and I've yet to run across anyone who's ever read this story, the Samaritans, they go to the south, to the district of Judea. They attack and they capture, according to the story, 200,000 women, sons, and daughters of the Judeans, the Israelites, okay? And then, according to 2 Chronicles, this is in the 28th chapter, if you want to look it up, this prophet named Oded, can you imagine naming your kid Oded? So, he shows up, and he just rips into the army of Samaria. And here's their response. And in particular, he's talking to the leaders of the army. And here's how the scene ends. Then those leaders, who were mentioned by name by the prophet Oded, got up and took the captives, and with the booty, they clothed all that were naked among them. 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kindred at Jericho, the city of palm trees, and then they returned to Samaria. This is the Jewish scriptures, folks, the Hebrew scriptures. This is a story that Jesus would have been familiar with enough that he could retell the story now in the first century of the Common Era for a whole new audience. Once again, using the character of an enemy. And part of the heart of this story, both in 2 Chronicles and in the Gospel of Luke, is that the cycle of violence by which the world is fueled can be broken by the strangest people, including our enemies. So, I want to take you to that ditch on the side of Highway 580 going through Washoe Valley. There you are. You've been stopped. You've been accosted. You've been beat up. Your wallet, your purse, whatever has been stolen. These robbers have gone through your vehicle. They have thrown you into the ditch on the side of the road and left you for dead. So there you lay. One eye is swollen shut. You're looking through another eye, laying there in the gravel on the hot side of the road. And here comes the absolute last person in the world you could imagine approaching you, your enemy, your sworn enemy. So think about who that might be. And as you see your enemy approaching you, and you're almost dead, you can't move, you can barely talk through swollen lips, what's the very first thought that's going to pop into your head? This is an enemy coming at you. I'm dead. This person's going to kill me. And instead comes and rescues you. It's a level of hospitality I hope to never receive. And yet therein lies the core of this story. It's not about guilting ourselves, oh, we're supposed to be like the, you know, the Good Samaritan, whatever. No. We're supposed to see ourselves lying in that ditch in abject need and imagining that our enemy may be the only one who can come and rescue us. One of the examples that came to mind was currently in our country, we're for all intents and purposes, being held in thrall by the fossil fuel industry in the country. We've pretty much been beaten to a pulp by these folks. We've been told that global warming is a hoax, you know, all the baloney that's been going on now for decades, and the science begs to differ. And so we've been invited to drink the Kool-Aid, and for all intents and purposes, we have been beat within an inch of our lives as a nation by the fossil fuel industry and left for half dead in the ditch on the side of the road. And if you can imagine that, just imagine the position we're in today here in the year 2019, you can then begin to imagine that there are nations around the world who are reaching out to us that we are completely ignoring at this point, who want to help us, who want to partner with us, who want to drag us, pull us out of the ditch, and begin to deal with reality, to heal from this madness that we've been caught in. I mean, there's an example of the power of this story that Jesus is telling. So, the one who fell upon robbers, that would be us. And there's help to be had. The question is, are we open to it?